Good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of this Wednesday's technology show. If you have just joined us, I'd like to introduce my co-host. Join me every Wednesday, Rama Chakaki, co-founder and CEO of Barakar Ventures and head of marketing and sales at Zedner. Rama, welcome to you.
Hello, hello.
We're also joined Alexander McNabb of Spot On PR. He is the on-organiser of the Geek Fest. He's also a writer and an all-round communications guy.
That's me.
We've got a really packed studio, actually, which is, I think this is really interesting that we have, because we're talking about e-commerce, and we're joined in the studio by three companies, entrepreneurs, homegrown, right here in the UAE, which is really exciting. Because that's what we're talking about this afternoon, about e-commerce. And is this the new marketplace for brands and for businesses and entrepreneurs here in the UAE? What have been some of the challenges that they've faced to setting up and marketing online? How are they going to be going global? And has the Middle East slowly woken up to online shopping? I can hear mobile phones going off terribly in the room. I don't know if everyone is going to have to turn off their phones. I know it's a technology show, but we're going to have to go silent on the phones at the moment. So let's go around the table and introduce everybody. We have Sonia Sultan, who's the director and of brand partnership and marketing from Glambox. Good afternoon to you, Sonia. How are you? And next to Sonia is Monica Dabowski, who's Director of Operations with Glambox. Hello.
Hi there.
Welcome to you. Moving around the table, we're also joined by Omar Kasim, who's CEO of Jado Pado.
Hello.
Is that right?
That's right, yep.
Yeah. Who is a sort of a great... I think we had you on the show a long time ago, didn't you, when you first launched?
Yeah, it was back in, I think, GTAX.
Was it in GTAX? Yeah. Right, okay. Just to give it in a nutshell, it's an online site where you can buy electronics.
Yep, electronics and bits and pieces of fashion as well.
Okay, and fashion.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. And sorry, going back to Glambox, that's just a little bit of a nutshell. I love this concept. It really is. It says it, really. It's a Glambox. It's this great little box that you can get, I think, once a month, filled with little samples of, could be perfumes, hair, cosmetics, facial, things like that. But
exactly.
From top brands, it's a minimal price, and you get this little surprise box every month. Really good idea. I love it. Also, we've got two girls on the couch there. We're going to have to give a big shout out to you. We'll bring you in just a moment, actually, probably after the break. But we're joined by Zaina Kanan and Rania Kanan, who are both the founders of Ananasa.com. A very warm welcome to you both. Fantastic online destination and marketplace to buy and sell handmade items made in the Middle East. You've got arts, crafts, clothes, furniture, home accessories, and much, much more. Doing very, very well. Wonderful idea. But we also have with us Alexandra Tomei, who's the concept developer with Ogilvy One Middle East. And welcome to you.
Good afternoon.
You're going to be actually, I suppose, kind of pulling it all together a little bit for us and talking to us about online marketing and marketing itself, how these brands actually do it with a bit of, obviously, your own experience. There's some great events coming up as well. And also, you're going to be sharing some statistics with us of online shopping. So thank you very much for joining us. And I think what's interesting, didn't you have some, I think there was some research that you did a while ago, Alexander, on online shopping, and just really to show that in comparison with the rest of the world, the Middle East is really, really low. Stats-wise, as far as how many people actually shop online.
We've been very late to market. Mm. And one of the funny things has been that every year for the past 3 years, we've heard conferences, people saying, you know, this year is the year of e-commerce. And I think this year is the year of e-commerce, but it's been said so often in the past, you can no longer say it without people just breaking out into laughter. But we've never seen so many startups and so many initiatives now in the whole e-commerce space. I think you've got some figures and stuff with you, Alex.
Yeah, MasterCard just released its online shopping survey for about 7 countries in the Middle East, and some very interesting stats coming out. So for the UAE, about 42% of people go online to shop. It's slightly higher in Saudi. And then some of the top sites, for example, will be obviously Emirates Airlines, followed by the group buying site Kobon. Here and then in Saudi, it's kind of more fragmented. They've got Amazon and Souq and eBay, so they seem to be quite heavily shopping abroad.
Mm.
But yeah, definitely there is a lot more stuff happening, and I think perhaps one of the biggest examples of that, apart from the number of online stores, is the success of Marka VIP. So a lot of products going through that store, almost 1.75 products a minute from the latest stats.
Amazing. But why do you think the Middle East has been so, well, as to say, you know, what you said actually, been so slow to come to the market?
Oh, because the banking problems have been enormous. The actual transactions, doing payments online, have been problematic. Security has been a concern. But I think really it's been the transactional side of things have been very, very slow.
Mm.
We've been slow to have broadband. Our broadband is still very expensive. People's online habits aren't as advanced. And then, of course, there haven't been the websites servicing the market. It's only now we're seeing sites coming up like Marker, like Jadopado, like Namshi. These sites now are making it viable for people to buy online. And Namshi, for instance, free shipping, free returns. So now I know that I'm not stuck with a product that I can't get a refund on. I can actually get my
so
refund.
So it's just making
right.
it more accessible.
More accessible and all those parts of the ecosystem coming together. And I think that's what's happening. The guys here will undoubtedly, I know Omar has, you know, have had quite a hard journey as pioneers in this to actually get through some of these problems. But now people have solved these problems. Others can come after them and, you know, the whole market can grow, which will be good for all of the people currently in the market.
Would you like to explain a little bit, Omar, possibly some of the problems and how you did overcome them? I mean, do you see yourself as a bit of a pioneer in this field?
No, not really, to be honest. But to some extent, I think we spent a lot more time than perhaps some people before us did in terms of trying to understand what the problems were within the marketplace. And I think, as Alex pointed out, payments is a massive issue.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get yourself signed up to a merchant account and actually start accepting payments online.
Why is it hard? Is it because of the cost implications?
I think it's cost. Cost is one component, as well as the payment providers are sort of against providing online sites with payment options due to a high degree of fraud that's taking place in the market.
I see.
So they're very against signing up new merchants at this point. Unless you've already got an existing relationship, it's pretty hard to convince them to provide you with a service.
Fraud, as in what, credit card fraud, these sorts of things?
There is a lot of credit card fraud in the market at the moment. I mean, we had to put together a whole bunch of tools in order to combat it.
Was that up to you to actually put that in place as opposed to the credit card company to do that? Then?
Well, they should have tools available to you, but they don't. So, yeah, we had to put a lot of stuff together ourselves. So we do everything from screen up front, to when at the point of delivery, for example, we ask for ID, we take a whole bunch of details down just in case there is a chargeback. Because the problem that you have as a merchant is that a consumer can come back to you after 6 months and say, or they can go back to their bank up to 6 months later and say that, you know, I didn't purchase this
right.
item. So that leaves a big gap open in terms of being able to accept and process payments reliably, essentially.
I could see the girls nodding here from Glambox. Are they some of the issues that you've also faced? Because you've just recently launched as well, haven't you?
That's right. We've been in operation since January of this year. But I'm nodding along because we've definitely had the same issue. We find banks here to be a bit more risk-averse. A lot of times we have customers writing in saying that their bank has actually blocked their payment. And unfortunately, it's hard to deal with that. We tried to find our way around that, but it's a bit difficult for us as well.
Risk averse is very polite. Do you not find banks unbelievably behind the times here?
As a Canadian, I would refrain from answering that question. But
are we allowed to answer that question?
Yeah, please do, because I mean, from my point of view, everyone I've ever spoken to who's been in e-commerce, who's had an online play, has come up against a bank that simply doesn't seem to understand it.
I'll give you an example. There was a bank where it took us 6 months to get a meeting with them, and we've been here in the region operating as a business for 35 years. So we've got existing relationships, we've got lots of banking that takes place, but it took 6 months to get a meeting. And I think it's not just risk averse, they just and I think like a lot of sort of up and coming consumers in the space didn't understand what exactly is online. How do we offer the service in a competitive manner? If you get onto any of the three merchant account providers' pages today, you just won't find any information on how to get in touch, who to get in touch with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a service that exists, but only if you sort of know who to talk to.
I see, right. And again, the same, did you again sort of experience this? But how did you get around it, Sonia or Monica, to sort of create your website, Glambox, and make it function correctly?
Well, we've been very lucky so far. People are quite excited just to order our product, so we find that if we can't offer them a certain way to pay, they always find another way that they're willing to pay. We currently offer payment through PayPal and Cashew, and this has resolved our issue so far. At this point, we don't offer cash on delivery, which is actually quite a popular way of paying in the region, but we're not ready for that step just yet.
It was interesting, so I had a story earlier that it's a story that's actually just come out of the UK. I don't know if you've heard of iZettle. Have you heard of this?
It's the version of Square, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a social payments company, and it creates services for person-to-person business-to-consumer commerce. Basically, it's a little plastic box that hooks into your phone, and it's got an app on it, I think, that you download for your phone, and then you can put your credit card into the plastic, and it basically works like that. It was created for a lot of tradespeople that wouldn't have these machines, the credit card machines, and mostly worked on cash or checks and these various other different kinds of payments. But, you know, there's obviously, as you mentioned, there are difficulties with this that, you know, you're not getting paid on the spot. It's difficult to keep up with your accounts. They might not pay you in advance. You're chasing payments. It's the sense of immediacy with it. And something like this, I think, would work brilliantly here, wouldn't it, on delivery, to have this little Zettel thing. I don't know. What do you think?
You definitely have, you know, we've got 80%, I think, of the businesses in the UAE are small to medium-sized businesses. And I think that would be great for a lot of the individual shops that you see. It would give people perhaps the confidence as well to and I would have to disagree a little bit with your saying that maybe it's difficult to keep up, because I think once you have a digital payments platform, you can reconcile quite easily and you can pinpoint what's going on. You don't have to.
No, I meant with checks and things like that. Chasing checks, this sort of terrible, you know, thing of people going around chasing money in accounts. But online, yes, I think it would.
So that's a lovely idea. All you need is a forward-thinking bank and telco. Oh.
Yeah, I think that would be the question, wouldn't it? Like, who would implement that? Would it be on the financial services side or the telco side or both?
Yeah.
The key thing that I am observing is there's such a lost opportunity. I just don't see why they don't look at what PayPal is doing and think, all this money that's going away elsewhere where we could actually be making money. I just don't see how they don't see it, unless they're so filthy rich that they don't really care about
it's
it.
It's one thing I've always wanted to ask MasterCard and Visa, and for obvious reasons they're going to be very coy about it, but they know, they have the data. They know how much money the UAE economy is losing in e-commerce going overseas. And it's a lot of money. We know that because Aramex has got a service that does nothing but ship from overseas. So that's an economic opportunity that could reside here in the UAE and isn't.
And in fact, sorry, just to add on to that point there, that Aramex service shop and ship, I think they've just released the ability for you to have a US domiciled credit card. So often when you shop on certain sites, I've experienced this, it won't take my bank card. So that is a good opportunity. But then when you look at the small print, some of the fees associated with that, if you're making a small purchase, is kind of prohibitive.
It.
But it's a good move that they've made.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do that for $79 a year as the Kindle Fire. The only way you can use a Kindle Fire and all the content on that Kindle service is if you've got a US domiciled credit card. So hats off to Aramex. Quite smart.
Mm-hmm. Look, we must take a very quick break, and we've got loads more to discuss, though, coming up. We're talking about e-commerce, shopping online, some of the challenges to do so. We've got some great entrepreneurs here in the studio who have overcome those challenges and have got their businesses up and running. Got some events to talk about and more statistics as well. But why not join the conversation? Do you shop online? If not, why not? What do you think are some of the challenges as a consumer that you face, and perhaps some of the security issues as well?